DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble-wubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James, that is Danny, and we've got Samantha over there. Way over there.
Yeah.
All the way in the other side. She won't get on a plane and come see us.
Because she doesn't actually love us that much, and that's okay. We understand.
No. She checks her own drip pan.
Well, that's good. All the time. That is
solo
very important.
Manage.
And Danny bookmarks it, so.
Every time.
This show gets creepier and creepier every time we do it.
Picks her,
we've
didn't
got a
happen,
drip pan
Sam.
WhatsApp.
Is there a drip pan Tinder?
Yes.
You just keep swiping left.
Isn't it just Tinder?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
So, as we were all gathering together, Samantha dropped a drama bomb, as it were.
Oh, my glob.
Did you say, oh, my glob?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
That's right. We got Adventure Town.
Okay, so the floor is yours, Samantha. Going on in the halls of your high school?
We talk pretty much, yeah. We talk about such personal things here. So I have a group of friends that we have been, we've started growing. There's four of us, and we started sort of growing together since there was the first two of us, which was myself and my one friend. We were 7 and 8. We took on the other one when we were around 10, and the other one came along when I was 12.
Okay, we're going to have to give them names, otherwise we're going to get confused.
7, 10, and 12.
Cool, yeah.
Names, not numbers.
That could be a name. You've never,
very
I mean,
inefficient.
People name their kids all sorts of weird shit.
7 of 9.
Well, let's call them bologna, pimento loaf, and...
Oh, we're talking about weak sandwiches. All right. Let's do it.
Well, we could call
just
the first one classic.
Just because I remember pimento loaf, her wannabe lover.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that his name, pimento loaf?
No.
Oh my gosh, that's right. I forgot all about that.
I thought we had a better name for him than that.
No, that was the name she gave him. Because he made, like, sandwiches with pimento loaf.
Yes, that's right.
Wasn't that it? Do I have that right?
No, it was plain white bread with Miracle Whip and one slice of cheese.
Oh, so I guess we just gave him the name pimento loaf.
Yeah, you guys. Well, no, I think pimento loaf came from the fact that I said his body is so skinny, but he's got a big head. He looks like an olive on a toothpick.
Okay. Olive head.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's,
olive
head.
That's where pimento loaf came from.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. We're back on it. Anyway, Drama Bomb 2019.
Well, okay, so group of friends, 7,
we
12,
really,
and 10.
We don't really need to know the other two for this. I'm just setting up, like, there was four of us that we grew up together.
So which one are we talking about, 7, 10, or 12?
We're talking about 12.
Okay.
The last to the group.
The last
it's
one.
Always the last one. Booker.
She's such a... She like... She clawed her way into the group. You know, we kept being like, meh, I don't know about you. But she's like, no, I'm here. I'm staying. And eventually she stayed. And it was great for many, many years. And we have a lot of fun stories with her. And, you know...
Most of them when she wasn't around.
No. We had a great group of friends, and we were always together. You know, the three of them went to a different high school than I did, so it was a little weird, and I'm a year older than all of them, so it was just kind of
so it sounds
know,
more like you were the outsider,
right?
It you would think that.
But you'd be wrong.
I am not. Yes, you would be wrong.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So four of us grew up together. 12, you know, has some okay, so three of us went off to the military, 12 stayed home, and we're all living around the world. We stayed in touch. Things started to break down between 7 and 12. you know, the very first one and the last one.
Right.
And 12 didn't invite her to her wedding. They stopped talking, blah, blah, blah. There was a big blow up on Facebook, and 7 let 12 know some shit about herself. And it did not go over well. So they stopped talking. It was a big thing. 12's college roommate and one of her best friends that was also in her wedding stopped talking to her because she was becoming very difficult to deal with and not a great friend and blah, blah, blah. A few months later, I decided to distance myself from her as well. Here's the reason. Her shitty husband cheated on her when they were dating. She decided to stay with him. And while they were engaged, she decided to forgive him, stay with him, and still get married to him.
Someone really wanted that wedding.
Seriously. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, she also drunkenly forced him. She knew that he had the ring on him, and she also drunkenly forced him at a bar to propose.
Classy.
I know, super. Top-notch. So that happened. I'm like, yeah, you guys are really going to make it.
Small bit of clarification, though. You distanced yourself from 12 or 7?
12.
Okay. Just making sure I got that right.
Yep. 7 and I are besties 12. Forever.
Talking about 12 as the go-to. Gotcha.
Yep. 12 is the pain in the ass. So 12 decides that she's going to stay with him. And I was living overseas at the time. I had, you know, I don't know all the details. I'm getting fragments from 3 people. So I was just like, okay, if she's happy, I'm happy. It's whatever. If this is what she wants. And then, you know, I come home come home, blah, blah, blah. All good, whatever. So she marries this moron. And apparently he continues to cheat on her, but she doesn't know. I don't know if she knows that still. But then they have a kid together. And she finds out.
Does she know if it's his?
I don't know. So
one of the things where she woke up pregnant or the kid was just there.
Incoming into the burn unit.
He was like, you don't remember? You take so many sleeping pills. I figured, you know, she just didn't remember being pregnant.
It was a really hazy 9 months.
Yeah, right. She just slept through the whole thing.
Just keep taking the Nyquil, honey. Just keep taking the Nyquil.
Stays there like a dead fish.
It's just a stomach ache. You'll get over it.
Sorry, I'm so irritated by this person. So it's just like, oh, whatever.
So fire on what made you this irritated.
Well, so idiot husband got a DUI. He would come home late from work. Put stuff in the oven and leave the oven on, and then it's just billowing black smoke. And like, because he would fall asleep in the middle of making something when he got home from work, and just like he's almost burned the house down multiple times.
Narcolepsy?
Drunkenness.
No.
No. Alcoholism.
No, he just doesn't pay attention to the fact that other people are living with him. Yeah, so he got a DUI, put her in a tough spot. She had to drive him around everywhere for months. So he left his cell phone home one day, and their kid was playing around with it and found all these fuck around apps. And she read all these text messages, got dates, so she discovered again that he was cheating on her. And I was like, okay, time to leave him. So supporting her through this whole thing, I'm like, all right, you've got to leave him. Let's go. Let's get all of your money out of your joint account. She's the breadwinner anyway. She makes more money than him. I was like, get all your money out of your joint account, put it in your solo account, or sole owned, as you know, adults would say. So put it in your account, and you know, I'll go with you to go. Let's go hunt apartments. Blah blah blah. He tries to manipulate her, and well, he successfully manipulated her into staying with him by threatening suicide. So that pissed me off too, because generally, if someone actually wants to die, they're not going to advertise it. And that's stuff that my father used to do to my mom until one day she was like,
Do it
or don't, you know, and then she walked away and he's still alive. So, you know, any pop psychologist could tell you that that's not
call their bullshit.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit. So that pissed me off that she was like, oh, and I was like, no, just walk away because he'll be fine. He doesn't have the guts to do it anyway. So
do it, you fucking coward.
Yeah, I've known this guy for years at this point, so I was like, yeah, no, walk away. So he's continuing to cheat on her, and she just won't leave the house. She won't make him leave. Every time I tried to encourage her to do it, she would just yell at me, and it would get worse and worse and worse, and I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
You can't help someone if they don't want help, and it wasn't a big blowout. She yelled at me for the last time, and I was just, you know, we got off the phone, everything, you know, and we just stopped talking to each other.
Yep, just do the old dealer shuffle, you know, nothing up yep. this sleeve, nothing up this sleeve, thank you, I'm out.
Right, pretty much. And we live like a street apart, and we work in the same building, but it's a huge building, it's 13,000 people, and, you know, we have very different schedules, and we work in different parts of the building. But I saw her one time, and I waved hello, and like any time I've seen her in her car, which has only been a couple times, I wave. She doesn't reciprocate anything.
All right,
you know, it's like I've had no – I mean, I have anger towards her because I think she's just like, to me, she's just very weak, and she was not always like this, and it pisses me off to see him just suck the life out of her, because she would not have dealt with this when we were younger. You know, it just makes me angry. So fast forward like a year and a half. We have not spoken at all. I get a random text last weekend, and it says, so do you ever plan on talking to me again?
Well, now that you mention it, no.
I was like, oh, bitch. 'Cause I've known her since we were 12. I know the attitude, and I know the tone in which she is saying that with. And I was like, hell no.
Yeah, not
so
likely.
So I was in the middle of a rehearsal, and I was like, okay, I'm not dealing with this now, and I do not have the mental capacity or readiness to deal with this at the moment. So I put it away, and I was like, file that away for later. So I didn't answer right away. And I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, I know why 7 distanced herself from 12. So 12's college roommate did the same thing months before I did. So I reached out to her. And I said, hey, I know it's been a while, but I have a question. you distance yourself from 12, and I was wondering if I could know why. I did the same thing, and I have a feeling that it was the same reason or similar reasons. So I'm just curious because I got a text today saying, you know, asking if she'll ever talk to me or, you know, if I plan on talking to her again. And college roommate says, interesting. I got the same text today.
Send it out to broadband, everybody.
Yeah, which is exactly what
apparently
she did.
Apparently, she's been on that NyQuil again.
Yep, fishing lines in every direction.
You should see if she's got more kids in her house.
I know, right? Just multiply like a rabbit. She's like, wait, I don't have any friends anymore? I wonder why.
But I have all these kids.
You know what? What's going on? So I asked college roommate told me that she did respond and that 12 got all snippy with her and, you know, and she was like, you know what? This is exactly what I'm talking about. So they do not plan on speaking anymore. And I was like, man, the right thing to do is answer. And I said, the right thing to do is answer. I need to respond.
Now, I'm going to jump in here. I know your story's not yet finished, but I'm going to jump in and say no. The right thing to do is to let her deal with her drama, because what's going to happen is you're going to respond and you're going to get sucked back into the whole high school fucking melodrama, and you don't need that.
And on top of that, it's just going to further piss you off when you realize that she was doing that to gain attention and she got it, and now she's going to be butthurt about it, and you're going to have to hear about it because of that. You're opening a floodgate of bullshit by responding. And although it is the human decent thing to do to respond, I would say for your own health and safety, I would say don't. But that's just me.
Mostly for your own mental health.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So this all happened last week, right?
All right.
I did not respond.
Good for you.
Well played.
But
dang it. There's a but.
The very next day.
A butt? Why is there always got to be a butt?
There's always a butt. Because she wants drama, and she doesn't know who she is without it. So the very next day, I get a Facebook message. Hey, did you get my text yesterday? I just want an answer one way or the other.
No. See, me personally, I'm kind of an asshole to people I write off. So it's a matter of if they try to contact me, I'm very blunt about it. It's like, no. I'll leave them that two-letter answer of N-O, and it's just like, no what?
Tell you
like,
what, figure Samantha, it out, fucker. I will edit some audio of Danny and I just going, no. And you can send it to her.
Well, I waited several hours before. So the thing is, I'm also in a group chat with 7 and 10, you know, because we're still all besties. And I'm like screenshotting this shit. Like, what the fuck? So they know everything that's happening in real time. Like, you should see this text thread. It is fucking hilarious. So I love those girls so much. So I waited several hours and I was just like, ah, damn it. So I did respond. But I am very good at taking the classy route.
Mm.
So I sent back, and I have it right here. I said, I got your text. It was a busy day, and I wasn't prepared for that. Short answer, no, at least not for a while yet. Long answer, husband, I said his name in the text, but husband brings out the worst in you, and it's exhausting. I couldn't watch the cycle of hurt he inflicts over and over. I hope you find your way back to yourself. I wish the best for you and your child, and I know his birthday is just around the corner.
Well played.
So I was like, let's just shut it down. Not dealing with this. And then her response was, okay, great. I know, right? And then several minutes later, she responds again. You know how it felt when 7 and college roommate just dropped me and you did the same thing. So if your answer is not anytime soon and it's already been almost 2 years, I won't hold my breath.
Then don't.
And my eye twitched a little. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
You got sucked back in.
Kind of, a little bit, but not fully. And then I responded again. I said, I'm not going to get into an argument. I'm sorry, and I hope things turned around. And that was it. That was all I typed. And then she responds again. I'm not trying to fight, but I'm pretty pissed about how you basically dumped me off at almost the lowest point in my life. I was going to see if you wanted to at least have lunch or something, but I clearly shouldn't have bothered. I won't bother you again. Don't worry.
See, and to me, it strikes me as that's one of the one things that bugs me the most about people who gravitate themselves towards drama mm-hmm. is they love throwing it in your face yeah. that yes. you fucked them over at the yeah. lowest point of their life. It's like, motherfucker, are you dead? Because no, that's the lowest point you get.
The lowest point in her life is the fact that she still stayed with that dipshit. They are still together, and he's still cheating on her. I'm 100% sure.
I wouldn't say that's the lowest. I would say that's the most pathetic.
Yes. But I didn't respond again after that. I was done. So there's no more back and forth. So that was it. And I stayed like high road, and I was like, sorry. This is just the way it is. So I sent all that to 7 and 10, and they were like, they sent me all these gifts back that were like, when you hot class or, you know, ooh, class. You know? it was really funny.
Well played.
So, but the thing is, how high school is that? Because she immediately came out the gate at a 10 and I was like, what the hell is happening? But you guys obviously, because you've already pretty much said it, you see the manipulation she was attempting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so can I venture a guess?
Oh, go ahead.
So here's what I'm thinking is happening in her life. She probably found out again he's still cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got no one now.
No one to turn to. She's burned and all so of her bridges.
Instead of directing that ire towards the person she should direct it at, which is namely him and herself,
mm-hmm.
she's going for all the people that she can't count on anymore because she pushed away from her stupidity.
But she gets yep. to feel guilty or not guilty.
She gets to push that guilt on to other people or attempt to.
Yes.
The problem is now because people are used to it,
They just don't fucking care.
They don't let her get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and unfortunately, here's the problem I foresee for her with absolutely no knowledge of this person, their life, or anything like that. What I see here now is because she's pushed everyone away, it leaves only her kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be Norman Bates, and I feel so bad for him.
Well, either he's going to be Norman Bates because she's going to, you know, smother him with, you know, protective.
No. She's going to go the opposite way.
She'll just become mean.
She's got no one to take her anger out except for the kid.
Well.
And that's going to drive a wedge. How old is the kid, roughly?
4.
Yeah. 3, 4. Okay. Yeah.
He's going to get used to his mother's bullshit. And either he's going to have one of two paths that in the past.
He's going to have a shit childhood.
But here's the thing. He'll have one of two paths he'll either take. He'll either take the self-destructive route, which will basically allow him to blame everything that is wrong in his life on his mother.
Or the people he surrounds himself with. Because
he will
learn
become a better person than they would ever hope to be.
Which I'm really hoping it's that
Me
one.
Too.
He's such a cute kid.
It's rare, but it is entirely possible, and it kind of all comes down to the type of people
he meets. It is rare, but
needs.
Speaking from personal experience, that's the route I took.
Well, I.
Well, like my sibling and I are opposite ends of the spectrum. We grew up in the same house under the same circumstances with the same bullshit, but I decided to pick myself up from it, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And he's still blaming, like, oh, my life is so crappy because...
Yeah, my brother and sister are the same.
Where I'm like, just grow up, take responsibility, and move on. So, she does smother him a lot. Like, she doesn't have an emotional rock, so she uses her child as the emotional rock, and that's going to be very damaging on him emotionally. So, he's learning what love is from these two, and that does not bode well for his future relationships. But I don't really want to focus on the poor kid because I'm hoping that he'll be able to do what, like, you know, James, you know, we were all able to do and is pick ourselves up and walk away from those situations.
And I will say a lot of what he's going to go through, whether he goes up or down, will depend on the people he surrounds himself with. Because we've said on this show, family isn't necessarily who – what you're born into.
It's not
the people you choose to surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And I will admit wholeheartedly, I come from one of the iconic dysfunctional prototypes.
Fair enough.
How I ended up as well adjusted as I am, and I say that with tongue fully planted in cheek, is a miracle to me. But I had to go through some real tough stuff to get where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my teens and my 20s were shit years.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Hope for the best for the kid.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but.
That's all you can do. The problem is what I would love for you to be able to do is be there for the kid, but you can't do that without being in her life.
To deal with her bullshit, but.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of like, good luck. I have my nephews to deal with, and they're awesome, so, you know, like.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't want to focus on the kid, because that's just, who the hell knows? That's, you know, what's going to happen.
Well, that's, I mean, that's exactly, as much as I hate to focus on that, that's, unfortunately, that's where 12 kind of put herself. She pushed all the people who were willing to help her away by not having the strength to stand on her own and get out of that situation and allow herself to be pulled back into it. I mean, it's really her fault, but she's right now she's looking for other people to blame because looking at yourself is really hard to do. And
she's completely incapable of self-reflection.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me she's kind of on that verge and she's reaching out, but she doesn't know how.
But even still, it's kind of strange that we brought it up as high school drama, because there was one thing that I learned back in high school from my metal shop teacher, which at the time, you know, he was trying to associate.
Watch your fingers.
Well, that too. No, he always kind of had a saying that he would always run past us. You know, it's like, if your work ethic kind of sucks now, the likelihood is as you get to be an adult, it will probably suck then too. So get your ass in gear and let's get this done. The thing that I didn't realize about that transmutes personal traits as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like if you were a drama queen in high school, and I say that knowing full well that there are dudes who are just as full of drama bombs as any female. But if that's your life shtick, if your whole purpose is to gain friends around you who sympathize with you so you can feel that camaraderie because of your bullshit and your drama and the things that you bring to the table that are just plain negative, it's something that will continue into your adult life. And
And that's the thing is like her and her idiot husband mentally have never left college.
Yep.
They are still there. And they have never grown off of that and away from it. They do nothing to make themselves better. They do nothing to change their circumstances. And I can't be around someone who's not willing to do that.
That's fair.
I just can't. I spent years trying to be like, let's go do this. Let's go do that. Woohoo. Hey, let's go to a museum. Let's go to a play. Let's go do things. And I'm was sick of going to her house and just sitting there like staring at her dogs and her kid because she's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our other friends had said, as a 10 had said, she treats people like the help. And that's exactly what she does. She wants someone to come be around her because she can't stand to be by herself. She wants someone to help with her kid because she has this back injury that I don't believe is real, but had surgery for it. So she's like, she's always begging for people to help her. And then when people are willing to help her, she's an asshole to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done with this. And husband brings out all the worst qualities in her. And it's just been degrading. It's just been chipping away at her personality for years. And I've seen like the downfall of this. And I'm like, I wish you would come back to the funny, you know, little bright spark that you used to be, but you have no goals for yourself anymore. You're content being stagnant. You're smothering your kid and putting all of your hopes and dreams on him. And that's going to be a lot of pressure for him to live up to. Because since you didn't do it, and like my dad did that to my brother and I. So like, I know what that feels like, but here's the thing, in this simple conversation, it could have gone an entirely different way. If she started with, hey, it's been a while. Would you like to have lunch sometime?
Right. Well, and that's then it comes high school down bullshit to the wording.
If she started right out the gate with attitude,
mm-hmm.
when if you had started from a place of calm, because she knew my answer.
Right.
She knew my answer. She was trying to goad me into an argument. And when I wasn't having it, she got pissed. And then I was like, no, I'm done. I'm not talking anymore. If you had started, if you were an actual adult, and if you did any sort of actual growth in your life and did any sort of self-reflection, you would have started with, let's have lunch, I want to talk.
And you know something
I'm
else?
I'm wondering if, not to cut you off, Danny,
oh,
but
you fucking jerk.
This kind of, it kind of sheds a light on something that I'm very indirectly involved. I'm an audience member.
Right.
I mm-hmm. have some neighbors who are very loud, and I can hear every argument they have, mostly her.
Gotcha.
I rarely hear him, but I feel like he does a lot of goading to push her over the edge, which doesn't take much. She also is... It feels like she never left high school because I hear her phone calls all the time. She talks to her, I'm going to assume they're friends. I have a running theory, and this may actually be passed on to 12 a little bit. My theory is that the two people that I'm referring to cannot... They don't function together, but they can't function on their own. And the only reason they stay together is because he's got the biggest dick she's ever had. And she sucks the best dick. Because there's
so
no way these
to
two...
doubt that 12 and her husband are any good at anything sexually.
But, you know, the one thing I was going to bring up, though, and this is just a kind of an observation that I've come across, you know, in the past. I've come to realize that, you know, with people who either rush into a relationship or feel like they're trapped in a relationship, end up being toxic to one another.
Yes.
Just by sheer default.
Yeah, they hate each other. Yeah. Oh,
and
they hate each other. They have nothing in common except college.
Well, and to compound that, they added a kid to the match.
Yep.
Now, here's the downside to what I've seen in the past. And again, this is observation only, and this is just my observation. So fuck me, this is my opinion. But I've come to understand if you have a toxic relationship like that and a child is brought into it, whatever personal growth you would have hoped to have accomplished as far as growing up and becoming a much more respectable adult has completely been grounded.
Yeah.
You are no longer able to do any real growth because at this point you were so stressed the fuck out with just keeping your relationship together. Now you have a child mixed in, so you don't have any time to actually focus on what you're needing to be better as an adult. And that stunts you. And it's just something I've noticed. Some people do break from it and they do eventually evolve to a point where they start to understand, okay, my responsibilities are to my child first and then to myself and then to my relationship. If it's toxic, then we just need to cut that last one completely off.
Yeah.
And when they get to that realization is when they do start their personal growth and they become much more functioning, better, you know, people in general.
Unfortunately, and most people don't get to that point because most people either don't know how or they're not willing to.
Or they don't know that there's something wrong.
Yeah. And it's like, that's all they've ever known.
But more so than that, it's like we could all tell 12 exactly where we think she's gone wrong in her life and the things that we feel she could improve upon and the way she's done it. Like how you have, Sam, with trying to get her to leave this dickmonger.
And I've done it very delicately.
But here's the thing.
You know.
It's much like what I've talked to with my buddy at work. You know, it's like he lost one of his body parts way back in the day because he was in with a bad crowd. And I asked him, honestly, I was like, okay, so if your future self could go back and tell your younger self, hey, don't do this or this is going to happen, would you have listened? And honestly, he actually answered me honestly. He said, no, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have listened. I'd have kept doing it. And it's like, that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who tells you, even if it's yourself from the future saying, hey, don't fucking do this. Until they get to that point of self-realization, they're locked.
Yeah.
And they're done.
Yeah, and you can't help them.
Exactly. No matter who you are or what you say, they're locked.
Well, like here's how stubborn 12 is, okay? She will do – if someone else gives her advice, she will just in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how good it is for herself. I have been – and this is my favorite example. It sounds stupid, but it's a great example as to how unwilling she is to hear from anyone else. She will only do things if it's her idea and her idea only. I have been telling her since high school to blend her fucking makeup down into her neck. Because it looks like she's wearing a fucking mask. If you can see the line on the jawline where it cuts. Oh, my God. And she wears makeup that's too dark for her anyway, so it's noticeable. And I was like, just blend it down into your neck. It's okay if you wear darker makeup. Just blend it. Still does not do it to this day.
Yeah, there is no help here.
Yeah.
None of us could ever offer anything that would be of any great service to this woman whatsoever. I hope the best for her, her child. But
like,
honestly, that's it.
I don't even care.
Yeah, we're done with her already.
Yeah, it's like good gravy.
But then after like college roommate and I told her, look, you're exhausting to deal with and you drain us emotionally and mentally, then she heads to Facebook and posts these like, oh, woe is me, friends, oh, if you're not with me, or if you're not with me at my worst, don't expect to be around at my best. And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah,
call me when you reach your best,
because
like, okay. I hadn't seen it yet.
But that's also where the only petty thing I did allow myself to do.
Oh, come on.
Was to post something as well. And Danny, you responded to it.
I did.
I didn't see it.
But you didn't know what it was for.
No, I didn't, but I knew that it had something rooted in that, because honestly, it was very straightforward. She had made a post about knowing the difference between people who are solid gold and gold-plated, and so I made a joke saying...
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
I feel like I'm more gold-edged, you know? It's so you can
you're
see who I am, but I got some pretty bits that you can enjoy.
You're,
you know?
You're gold-flaked.
Yeah.
The ones that she posted was that Will Smith quote. Yeah, the one she posted was that Will Smith quote, like, if you're absent during my struggle, don't expect to be present during my success. Cool, fine, whatever. And the other one was, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Fair enough.
And I was like,
I guess.
Okay.
Oh, I kind of wish I knew her, because then I'd post like a crickets icon or something.
I know, right? But yeah, here's the thing is the mental gymnastics it takes to, and I put this in that post, the mental gymnastics it takes to maintain the it's everyone else's fault but mine mentality is just outright astonishing.
Yeah.
What she has to trick herself into on a daily basis. Because, okay, because we used to have a boss that would say, if everywhere you go smells like cabbage, it's probably you. Right now, she's the one who smells like cabbage, and it's her problem, because three of your oldest and longest and best friends have distanced themselves from you. There are clear patterns of behavior, and you are pushing people away from you. The mental willingness to ignore your part in any of it is next level insanity.
Aye.
I mean, just straight up ignorant.
Well, I guess it goes without saying that you're just better off without her at this point.
Oh gosh, yes. Like, once I kind of stopped talking to her, I was like, I feel lighter. My shoulder, like, I'm not always like, oh God, what excuse do you know? Because also when I started making my own friends here, because I moved here, she was the only friend that I had. So it was great. It was just the two of us, blah, blah, blah. And the other two live a couple hours away. So, you know, the four of us haven't been on the same, in the same state, let alone on the same continent in almost 10 years. So now we're all living in the same state, and it's kind of like, oh, hey. So there's two of us here, two of us there. So we're down here is having a good old time, and, you know, everything's great. And then, you know, the other two start fracturing and falling apart, and then she starts just blah, blah, and then we go into the story that is told. And the insanity is just, like, I don't get it. But, yeah, so she's pissed that I started making my own friends, pissed that I started doing, like, stuff with Radio Hour, and I started writing for them, and that, you know, I had told her, I said, hey, I'm going to have to be really selfish with my time. We're going to grow this into a business, and I'm doing this, this, and that, so I'm not going to be able to hang out as much. And then, you know, so the fact that I'm flourishing, and I've also been at the company, same company that she works at, for less time than her, and I now have a higher pay grade, and I make way more money, and I'm off on in a different department that will allow me to, you know, that I'm actually treated as an adult in. So the fact that I got here and just took off and then she never did, I mean, I was thinking that might play a part in it as well.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. That's
guaranteed there's a little bit of resentment in every...
And jealousy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again...
Makes me sad. Yeah. I wish she could grow up a little bit.
It would be nice if we could see the people who fall pick themselves back up and actually, you know, figure some shit out in their way. But honestly, there are some people that can be helped. And I know me personally, I love trying. But when I realize that there is no lesson I could share with them that would make any real difference, that's usually when I have to just go, I'm sorry. It's in the fate's hands now.
Yep.
And I did what I had to do, and if I imparted any information or insight into any other ways of thinking, then awesome. But as it shows right now, I'm not helping, so I'm just going to go ahead and remove myself. It's kind of like chasing a flaw. You guys ever heard that term?
No.
So with woodworking and painting, the one thing you never want to do is chase a flaw. Like you notice something wrong, like you painted something too heavy or too light, and you keep trying to pick at it and trying to fix
it. It makes it worse.
All it does is make it perpetually worse. Anytime you're working with wood and you see a flaw, it's like, fuck. You have to be really gentle with how you work with it, because if you go too far, you're going to fuck it a whole thing up. Same thing with painting. You know, so chasing a flaw in people is very much the same. You know, to some degree, there are some things that can be fixed. And if you're careful about it, you can get it and it's no big deal. But a lot of the times, we have a hard time noticing in ourselves that we are chasing a flaw in certain people. So I think it's important for people to actually take a second and go, okay, wait a minute. Am I just making shit worse by trying this? Or I don't know. But that's me.
Yeah, it makes me sad. But she did it to herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, James, you had an idea?
Before we get to that, can I share a story about my neighbors that I think you guys will get a kick out of?
Do it.
Yeah.
They don't listen to this show.
I don't think they know this show exists. Okay, so this happened about a week ago. They were at each other all day. And I went to bed at my normal time, and Bree's back on her old schedule, so she doesn't get home until like 10 at night. Usually I'm asleep about 4 hours before she comes home. Well, I got woken up about an hour before the wife gets home because the neighbors, I don't know if this was to make up or make things worse, decided they were going to experiment physically. It does not.
This is getting the good.
So I hear the general moans and groans of relations. You like how I'm being so delicate with this? And she
sugarcoat it.
She is loud. Loud. And I can tell when the experiment begins because there is a very long, drawn out. Followed by a. And a lot of slow down. Slow down. There's a couple of little laughs, so things are going okay, I guess. And then another long, This is followed by, and I'm quoting, "I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight." To which I respond, "Neither am I."
Thanks. Not be able to sit down?
Apparently,
maybe.
The experiment ends well for one of them.
He usually does.
Because again, and I quote, "Oh, just like everything else, it's all about you."
Oh, swing and a miss.
About 2 minutes after that phrase is uttered, I hear my wife come home.
Oh.
I jump out of bed, I open the door and go, "I'm not getting any sleep tonight." To which her response is, "Why?" And I regale her with the tale, and she's like, "Oh,
man.
Now that's
when
you take your wife in there and you go at it even louder."
Oh, now,
wow.
I'm not kidding when I say I did not sleep a wink after that. My wife slept like a baby.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have to hear it. Now, this is how classy I am.
Oh, no.
The next day, I see her having a cigarette.
She's walking in the house bow-legged?
No.
But he is.
And I fight down the urge, successfully, but just barely, to say, "I'm surprised you can sit down."
Shall I fetch you a donut?
I was very proud of myself, but I had many a comment. One of which was, you two should invest in a safe word. Because I was up here muttering in my pillow every safe word I could think of. The next time I hear anything remotely, I'm going to pound on the floor and scream the safe word.
It's for just, your just safety of sleeping.
No, because I want them to stop.
Exactly.
Rutabaga, yeah. Peter Pan, Weatherman, Trapezoid. Any of these? No? Okay, I'll keep...
Wow.
So, yeah.
Good times.
I've never had neighbors as loud as these two. And I lived above... are you listening? Danny's listening right now.
I could have sworn I heard some.
Probably. They might have heard me shouting safe words.
Probably.
The thing is I've talked to them individually. Very nice people.
Gotcha.
Together, oil and water. I mean, mm-hmm. they're... Why she hasn't gone through with one of her threats to move in with her mother, I will never understand. We affectionately call it White Trash Theater.
Essentially, yeah. And it sounded like the matinee was starting.
Oh, yeah. If you're at my place for at least an hour, you'll hear something.
Lovely.
It's very rare that they go longer than an hour. Yeah, so... Okay, but that said, I want to discuss something a whole lot more fun and perhaps a bit creative on our parts.
Here's hoping.
So, 2 years ago, I think it was, the movie Straight Out of Compton came out.
Yes.
It was the biopic on NWA, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E. Mm-hmm. This past year, we got to see Bohemian Rhapsody, which is an amazing film. If you haven't seen it, you really owe it to yourself. We've got another biopic coming out about Elton John called Rocket Man.
I'm a little concerned about Rocket Man because it seems a little bit more like quasi-biopic / Elton John's just fantasy film about himself.
They
called it like what, the biographic fantasy or something like that, or the real life fantasy.
Like that,
Well, the thing is if you look at his life, it to the rest of us, it could feel like a fantasy.
All right.
I don't know how much he was involved in it. This past week, a movie that I'm dying to see because I know the story and it's so intriguing to me is a movie called Lords of Chaos. It's about the rise of black metal in Norway, specifically around a group called Mayhem, which are arguably the inventors of black metal.
Oh, totally.
And I really want to see this movie, but apparently it's not playing here in Portland. I didn't realize it was like a very limited release.
Oh, like one of the Fathom events or something?
It's not even that. It's I think it was like released in New York and L.A.
Boo.
But I'm dying to see this movie.
Well, to be fair, there is Until the Light Takes Us, which is a documentary about black metal. And they talk a lot about Mayhem and Burzum and Darkthorn, shit like that, the old schoolers.
And because of this movie, it's got me like looking into a lot of these documentaries and stuff and watching as many as I can. I actually just got the book Lords of Chaos, The Rise of Satanic Metal, and along with I think it's called Black Metal, The Evolution of a Cult or something like that.
James, what was the first documentary movie you said?
Straight Out of Compton.
No, I'm sorry, the first metal.
The one about black metal is Until the Light Takes Us. It's kind of hard to find, but yeah, it's a documentary that basically talks about the rise of Mayhem bringing black metal to a scene and then, you know, kind of the pinnacle of the controversy, I guess, is with the church burnings and the desecrations, and then it became more popular, and then the situation that happened with the lead singer of Burzum, and how they've all kind of moved past now. So it's...
Well, actually, it was the...
or sorry.
Okay, I'll jump into this, because I've been re-delving into it. So the Norwegian black metal scene grew around a band called Mayhem.
Yeah.
And it was founded by this guitarist who went by the moniker of Euronymous.
Mm-hmm. And then Dead was the frontman.
He formed a band. They had a singer. They got rid of him for whatever reason. This guy from another black metal band from Sweden sent his audition tape along with a crucified dead mouse. That
way
true
to
story.
Seal that.
it's a true story. I'm not making this up. Guy's name. He was going by the name of Dead.
Yeah. Wasn't he the first one to do corpse paint? Officially, the black rim and the black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while everyone says it wasn't because of Kiss, it was because of Kiss.
Yeah.
He just.
We know.
He took it to a different.
He took his own twist on it.
Yeah. And he used to, a couple nights before a show, he would bury his clothes in the dirt so it would start to rot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was really going for this kind of living corpse thing. Turns out he had a lot of mental issues that were. We weren't diagnosing that stuff at the time.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where one of his.
It's possible he was bipolar.
I wouldn't doubt it. But one of his main things that he did on stage was he would literally cut himself on stage.
Yeah, he would
while
cut
performing.
His cut his wrists and bleed on the audience and
cut
stuff.
Cut his chest and all kinds
yeah,
of shit.
Yeah, he's really, really weird guy. But by all accounts, a really great guy.
Yeah.
Outside the band and stuff, but he just had a lot of stuff going on mentally.
His own demons.
Well, and a lot of times, true artists. Like that are deep into their art, sometimes have a hard time coming back to reality.
Pulling it out. Yeah.
Well, and I think there's stuff in his childhood. And again, I think he's bipolar too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. The band lives in this house. One day, everyone's out. The lead singer, Dead, commits suicide. He cuts his wrist, cuts his throat, and then shoots his head with a shotgun. Euronymous, the founder of black metal, is the first to find him, and instead of calling police,
took a picture and made it their next album.
He took a series of pictures, and it nearly broke up the band because he showed them to the bass player at the time, who is currently the bass player in Mayhem, and I believe the only founding member.
Yeah, I think he's the only one left.
He quit the band over this. Euronymous took all these pictures, refused to get rid of them. He used them for a live album cover with the whole thing that Dead. The quote is, Dead was so disenfranchised by the metal scene that he killed himself.
Right.
Anyway, so they hired the bass player for the other founding black metal band, Burzum, a guy named Varg Vilkers.
Yes.
Something like that. Varg.
Varg, yeah.
He and Euronymous, before Varg joins the band, were really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Varg joins the band, they start butting heads because Varg believes that Euronymous needs to take the black metal. He feels like Euronymous is talking the talk but not walking the walk.
Right.
Varg begins burning down churches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, these are ancient fucking churches.
Yeah, these are like
landmarks. Now, granted, they
landmarks.
weren't, as far as I understand of the natural history of them, they weren't Christian churches to begin with. They were actually kind of ceremonial halls for the original religion that was in Norway at the time. And when the Christians came there, they basically took over their holy places and turned them into Christian churches, as well as moved them from their original placings in order just to kind of further stamp down. Which, again, one of the main reasons behind black metal being what it is was it wasn't so much hail Satan so much as it was fuck Christians.
Because yeah, there's nothing really – that's one of the stigmas with black metal.
Yeah. It's not hail Satan so much as it's just fuck Christians.
Yeah. So story goes that Varg kind of leads the charge with this whole church burning thing. I'm not sure if Euronymous was involved. I know in the movie they show scenes of him being involved, so it's very possible
plausible.
Euronymous finally gets fed up with Varg's shit. He's also – his musical tastes are changing.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting into more electronica stuff, and he's – he closes down a music store that he founded, mostly due to his parents' kind of pressure. But he's basically outgrowing
the scene,
and Varg takes it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Now here's where it gets sketchy, and we only have Varg's word to go on. But there's a lot of back and forth on from people who knew Euronymous.
Mm-hmm. They talked to a lot of people about the situation.
I kind of tend to believe the situation that's in the movie. I haven't seen it, but I kind of believe that.
Again, I want to see it. So if you get a copy, hook me up.
Dude, yeah. I'll make sure that we'll watch it together. We'll do a commentary for it or something.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, so story goes from Varg that Euronymous starts sending death threats and saying, if you don't sign this certain contract, I'm going to torture you to death.
Whoa.
Varg goes back, and it's a back and forth, and mm-hmm. Varg finally goes to Euronymous's place and has a confrontation. Now, what's in that confrontation is hearsay. Varg's story is that Euronymous went after him.
Right.
But the physical evidence suggests something different.
Yeah.
And the physical evidence is that Euronymous was found stabbed to death 31 times.
Yeah.
Outside of his apartment. So whatever started in Euronymous's apartment made it all the way down three stories,
something like that, yeah.
Into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Euronymous was in his pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what they got Varg for. They hauled him in for manslaughter.
He was in for he was in for murder.
Well, he got murder. Yeah, sorry.
He was sentenced for 21 years, got out after 14. He's out now. You can actually he has a whole YouTube channel, he comments, and he's really against the Lords of Chaos book and movie. And he's kind of – I did watch a video. I didn't realize it was him I was watching.
Yeah.
He's kind of a nut job.
Yeah, he's a little on the crazy side.
But – and I will say this. He does make some good points.
Sometimes. There's a light peppering.
Well, the video I saw, the points he made about the book and the movie was that these people making the movie and the book didn't ask the people involved. Here's the caveat.
Okay.
The guy making the movie was the original drummer for the Swedish black metal band Bathory.
Oh, gotcha.
He talked to everyone. He even went and got the go-ahead from Euronymous's folks to make the movie and get the rights to the original Mayhem music, which is in the movie.
That's gangster. You know how hard that shit is to find?
You go on YouTube. Well, that's where I found it. It's not good.
It's not great, but there's something to behold there. It's kind of like For All Kid from Dimmu Borgir.
I actually found footage of one of the concerts with Dead.
Nice.
And it was grainy as fuck. It's clearly like third generation VHS.
It's early 90s fucking
sounds
club
not
scene.
Good. But it was still, I mean, that's history. If you're a music fan, that's history. So, but the point I was going to make with all of this was that we're getting like into this era of movie making, filmmaking, where we're seeing biopics. Mm-hmm. Start to crop up more, which I'm fine with, especially if they're done well. And the latest crop seem to be done really well. One of the things that really excites me about seeing Lords of Chaos is that the take they're going with this movie is that – and what people forget was these were young kids, 17, 18 years old when they were doing all this shit.
Yeah.
Crazy fucking young kids that had no concept of the consequences of their actions. They believed wholeheartedly, like we do when we're 18, 19, that the fucking world is ours and we know better than everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, I have to see this.
I'm desperately looking, but I think what's going to happen is we're going to wait till it's on DVD. And like I said, we'll fucking sit down. We'll get the band. We'll hook up mics and we'll do a full fucking commentary.
I'm cool with that.
Which would be awesome.
The most recent
kind of documentary that I've seen, Josie and I went and saw in theaters, was They Shall Never Grow Old. And Peter Jackson was basically slated to remaster World War One footage. So colorize, add sound, clean up. It is fucking incredible. And what he did with it was really impressive, because most everything back then was in very locked shot. You know, you got to see what was coming across the camera.
Well, they were doing that. You know, they had to hand crank the cameras.
So what he did was, after cleaning up the film, he would actually move in the frame so it would actually give kind of a directorial movement to it. It is fucking beautiful.
So I loaned my copy of Bohemian Rhapsody to my buddy Travis because he hadn't seen it.
Dirty bastard.
So he saw it this weekend, and this morning he hit me up with – because he was – talking about how emotional he got watching the Live Aid part of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I told him the same thing because I had watched it over the weekend. He had my DVD copy while I watched it on Blu-ray. And I was stunned by how accurate that footage was. If you go on YouTube and you watch the original Live Aid and then watch
the movie version,
it is like painstakingly recreated.
No, they're trying to be as close to accurate as humanly possible.
So this got Travis to want to put together a film. For those who watched it, or for those who have not seen the whole thing, the Live Aid movie.
Okay.
From the build up, performances, like iconic performances, shot in the same way. I told you. But it got me thinking about, well, what are some bands or concerts that are, I mean, historical, iconic, that should have movies made about them.
Mm.
And when I thought about this and I thought about the podcast today, I thought Danny and went, oh, well, Pantera, obviously.
It's usually a pretty easy win. However, I would go a step further and not just say Pantera. I would just single up on Dime. Because, don't get me wrong, Hell Yeah is an amazing band.
Well, a Pantera movie would be...
all of them
really be,
up to a point.
Well, the focus would have to be on Dime and Vinny.
Well, yeah.
You know?
To be fair, don't get me wrong. Got lots of love and appreciation for Rex.
Here's the question.
But
here's the question I ask of you then. When does the movie begin? When does it end?
See, if I was going to begin it, I would probably go back to their last album before getting a hold of Phil Anselmo, which I believe was Projects in the Jungle.
No, see,
and
I would
start there, but a quick segue into power metal and then on.
I would go back even further, and I would do it in the way that Bohemian Rhapsody did, which is basically just snapshots of time.
Well, essentially,
like the
yeah.
really standout points. So you have to.
But
go,
I mean, like the actual start of the film, I would start there because that's where things really change.
I'd start when he won his first guitar.
Well, that's if you're doing just a Dime story. If you're doing Pantera.
Yeah, but you got it. I mean, that's really, if you're doing that.
Because you got to go all the way back even before Dime was playing guitar if you were doing a whole Pantera thing, because Vinny had a band before Dime started playing. And then once Dime started playing, he started winning competitions, got to play with his brother. And then they formed up and decided to take that on.
You can squeeze that in. And again, it's filmmaking, so you don't have to follow the exact timeline.
True. But again, I would like to see the fat of the story take place somewhere before Cowboys from Hell.
Well, obviously.
And end out sometime just after Damage Plan. Just out of sheer principle, you could see where everybody had spidered into.
Funeral.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like you get up to Damage Plan, you got Phil Anselmo doing Super Joint Ritual down, and I don't think he had another one at the time. But and then you got Rex rolling with him, but Dime and Vinny are doing Damage Plan, and then that whole fucking shit show happens. Again, it would be interesting to see what somebody does who pays the honest respects to. But I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of tough because although I'd love to see that, I think at this point in my life I've seen so much of Pantera. And, you know, I've watched Dime Vision versions 1 and 2. You know, I've I've watched just about everything I can get my hands on about them. So for me, I would like to see something done about Ozzy Osbourne. From Black Sabbath to now. The beauty part about it is, A, he's still alive, and B, Black Sabbath was kind of, in a lot of opinions, the catalyst for metal.
It
pushed that boundary. It drove people to go, oh, we can be dark and scary? I like that. So, I mean, the godfather of heavy metal kind of deserves his own film.
I can go with that. Samantha, you got a band that you'd like to see a movie made of?
Aqua. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
Barbie Girl, you know?
The shortest movie in history.
Because everyone walks out.
It would be done like stop motion with Barbies.
It's like 15 minutes. They meet, they create the song, and then disappear.
Yeah, right?
They had a few songs.
I'm awful with band names, what artists belong to who went to what band after what time period.
You even
I don't
to
know
music,
any of that.
Bro?
I just know what songs I like and don't like.
That's fair.
But what's funny is my mom can tell you all of that. Like Ryan and his friend Jay are both like total metalheads. And that's why I was asking you. I was like, repeat that movie name again, because I was letting them know, like, hey guys.
Yeah,
go
Until
watch
the Light
this,
Takes Us is the documentary and Lords of Chaos.
Like, they are the people to talk to about this. I'm not so much. I was recently introduced to, you know, like Norway metal, Norwegian metal, Finnish metal. And so all of that is pretty new to me. And I am enjoying what I'm listening to, but I couldn't tell you.
You got to listen to Lordy.
My parents have great taste in music. And my mom is like, because Ryan has a battle jacket. And I'm sure you guys know what that is, but my mom is like looking at his patches going, I've seen them live. I've seen them live. I've seen them. Ryan's like, your mom was cool. I'm like, yeah, I know. So
what happened? No.
Hey.
Oh, come on. Don't set me up like that.
See, for me, I think that the ones that I would like to see made movies of are really like game changers. There is a movie about NXS.
All right.
Which is really good. I would like to see a movie about U2. I would like to see a movie, believe it or not, I would love to see a movie about No Doubt. Because they kind of godfathered in the ska movement. I would
don't
love
get me wrong.
To see,
I like No Doubt, but I don't know if I would
to
give
see
them that
a
much
Soundgarden
credit.
Movie.
Okay, that one I can give you some
love
for.
Oh my gosh, yes, Soundgarden!
That one I could give you some love for, because, yeah, he... Aside from the fact... Well, I mean, it's like Rage Against the Machine. That's a band that could
get
a film.
I would like to see that movie done.
And I could totally buy that, because at that time, the political outrage bands were small in number or just peppered here and there. Rage Against the Machine kind of went at it full force.
Yeah.
And they were one of the very first to just, that was their shtick.
Yeah.
A lot of bands have, you know, anti-governmental songs, but nobody ever hit the point so often
like
and so hard and so well in a lot of cases. So, I mean,
see,
they
like
would
to,
be justified.
I'm kind of with you, although, more or less so, not so much Ozzy, but Black Sabbath movie.
Well, again, yeah. I mean, if you get one, you get the other. And Ozzy was still a major player when he went solo.
I would love to see the Dio movie. Although I don't know that there's anyone short enough to play Robin James Dio.
No, most of the actors from Willow passed away.
Yeah.
I think Warwick Davis is available.
Warwick's
though.
Available, yeah. See him on stage as stubby
yes!
little Ann.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard because there are so many iconic bands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would love to see the Kiss movie, but the
Metallica.
Thing is if you've seen them live, you've seen the Kiss movie.
Essentially.
I would
yeah.
like
yeah.
to see the Metallica movie leading, but it's got to end with the release of Justice. Or, no, I'm sorry, Black.
Yes, Metallica was a band I definitely grew up with. That's one that, I still listen to this day. Again, my parents have really good taste in music. So I grew up with all the classic stuff that people talk about, you know, Black Sabbath, Pantera, all of those, you know, big bands. But I also listen to, you know, Creedence Clearwater. I love Creedence Clearwater Revival. I love the Styx.
I'd like to see an Eagles movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, to some degree.
I think that would be really interesting to watch.
All right. But again, I'm kind of with you. It's like, it for me, it would have to be somebody who changed the face of music as we know it. Yeah. And honestly, I got to keep going back to Ozzy Osbourne. Because even once he got out of Black Sabbath, he kept rewriting what it meant to be a rock star, you know? Everything from Blizzard of Oz, Ultimate Sin, you know, No Rest for the Wicked, shit like this moved things forwards. And then he started evolving even further, and his fan base grew all the way up until Osmosis and fucking all that other shit passed. I mean, hell, even Scream is an amazing fucking album, and he's ancient. So yeah. It's like, to have somebody that's been that relevant in music for that long, in and of itself is impressive. Which is another reason why Metallica is always at the top 10 list of metal just in general, because they've been able to outlast everyone. Mm-hmm. Even going from Black Album through Load, Reload, all those trial and error years that they had where they were evolving their own sound, to nowadays, they're still selling out arenas.
See,
and
I think,
still relevant.
I think we're missing a golden opportunity. What the three of us need to do
is write one.
is write a movie about an iconic band that changed music that no one's ever heard of. Why? Because we make it up.
Yes!
Already made up!
Do the fictitious biopic of Herkimer.
Herkimer.
As a for instance.
No favoritism here whatsoever.
We explore the lifetimes and music of Menstrata.
Yes! Yes! It'll be a bloody good time.
Pun fully intended.
Yes! Where's your fucking pun game now, bro? No.
Okay. All right. We've gone over, but this was fun.
That's okay.
Well, fuck our listeners, you know.
We dealt with some drama. We learned about James's neighbor's butt stuff.
And then we rounded on to metal and Menstrata.
If we can end the show with Menstrata, I think it's a good show.
That's genuinely a win for
anytime
all.
Anytime we can bring it back around.
Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back sometime.
Hopefully.
I'd like to say next week, but soon-ish. I have no idea.
Not even sure anymore. We just show up when we're called and like, okay.
It's what happens when you...
When the beacon strikes the sky.
Right.
Or the
beacon of James House is lit!
The floor, as it were.
James calls for a podcast!
Then we will answer.
Yes!
Cue epic music.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to write a Radio Hour sketch called The Podcaster.
Yes!
That's going to be a top-notch Tangler bad guy.
Woo! That sounds hot.
Not really, no. Okay, guys.
I want a top-notch Tangler.
I want a top-notch Tangler.
Well, then bookmark it.
I'm gonna.
Ah!
Have fun.
Bye. Okay, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.